We're going to read from God's Word now, from John chapter 14, and we'll read it from verse 6. We're coming into a part of a discussion that Jesus was having with his disciples. And we read, "Jesus answered, 'I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him.' Philip said, 'Lord, show us the Father, that we and that will be enough for us.' Jesus answered, 'Don't you know me, Philip, even after I have been with you such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater than these, because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. If you love me, keep my commands. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him or knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and that you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them." Amen. We trust that God will bless this reading to of his word to us.
Well, good morning. Can you hear me correctly? Sound check okay? Yeah, good. It's lovely to be with you here, and I bring my greetings as a representative of the Scottish Baptist Lay Preachers Association. I was president up till recently, but now God's calling me to do lots of new things, and it's quite exciting. My home church is now Colleydean Granary Baptist Church in Glenrothes. For a long time it was Bristow Baptist in Edinburgh, but my husband and I moved to Kinghorn in Fife about 4 years ago, and we're absolutely loving living by the sea, and when we go out for a walk it just causes us to want to worship God and all the beauty that's surrounding us. And so we've now settled in Glenrothes because we know the pastor extremely well, and I've known him since he was a teenager. So we're on the same wavelength, and it's great to be of service in that church. And it's great to be of service here too. So today, our title is Living Life to the Full in the Power of the Holy Spirit. Living life to the full in the power of the Holy Spirit. Is that something you're interested in? How well do you know the Holy Spirit and what he comes to give you to empower you to live life to the full? We're going to look at all of this because you can learn about a person, a human being, even learn what they do, their characteristics and their personality. You can read about them, perhaps, if they're famous. You can read about the Holy Spirit. You can hear about them from someone who knows them, what they're like and how that person has experienced them, and so it is with the Holy Spirit. You can hear from the people who live with the person, and then you get more intimate details for what they're like in their home life. And so it is with the Holy Spirit. We can only get to know those intimate details when we dwell with them. But we can never really get to know another person until we spend time with them ourselves on a one-to-one basis. And so it is with the Holy Spirit. So today we're going to look at the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit, so that we might know them better and increase our desire to spend more time with them ourselves, so that we can be equipped to live life to the full. Is that okay? Is that what you want? Do you want to live life to the full? Yay, good, glad. So the next slide, though, brings us a bit of a warning. John 10:10. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. This is what Jesus said. But he said, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. So if Jesus has promised it, it must be true, mustn't it? It must be available to every single person. He said, I have come so that every single one of you and those who come after you will have life to the full. So what does life in all its fullness look like? What would you be doing if you were living life to the full? And if you're not living life to the full, what's stopping you? What gets in the way? Well, this verse, John 10:10, reminds us we're in a battle, a spiritual battle, aren't we? And we have to remember that as we go through our lives, our everyday lives, as well as our church lives. Because God designed you and knit you together in your mother's womb, as it tells us in Psalm 139, a wonderful, wonderful psalm. But we live in a fallen world. You can read all about that at the beginning of the Bible. And we are each affected by the spiritual battle going on for each of us. Other people hurt us, say negative things over us, may abuse us emotionally or physically, and even spiritually, sad to say. And we're easy prey for the devil before we're in a relationship with Jesus, because we don't know what's going on in the spiritual realms. And we can easily be persuaded that we're okay and what we're doing is okay if everybody else does it. We follow the culture. But when we become a Christian, when we give our lives to Jesus, and if you haven't already done that, I would encourage you to do that. There's no greater thing, no greater relationship to have than a relationship with Jesus. When you give your life to Jesus, then the battle really begins, because the devil says, aha, they are going to try and do things for Jesus, and I'm going to try and stop. So we have to expect a battle as we go through our lives. And every time I preach anywhere, I expect a battle before I get there, and it is every time. So, and when you, even when you're a new Christian, the devil likes to whisper lies in your ear to remind you of your past. Maybe you've had a very sinful past. You know, I know quite a few people that we've been working with in Burnt Island that are new Christians. Some of them have been to prison, drug addicts, and whatever, but they're amazing, loving, lovely people whose lives are now surrendered to Jesus, and what a difference that makes. But the devil can still come in and whisper, well, remember when you used to do that? Remember this. And it can be difficult to shake off those old beliefs that you're no good. Who do you think you are? You're not worth it. God couldn't use you. You're unlovable. That God is a harsh, critical judge. All lies that rob you of receiving your inheritance in Christ. As we read in John 14, each of us is called to do even greater things than Christ. Can you imagine that? You know, all the things, all the wonderful miracles that Jesus did. He said, you can do even greater things than I have done. I've shown you how to do them, but now I'm passing the baton to you. I am going to leave you an advocate, the Holy Spirit, to equip you to do all the things that I have taught you and modeled for you, but even more besides. Isn't that awesome? And how many of us live that life? So I'm here to challenge you today to think about living that life in all its fullness. And imagine what a transformational, life-giving army of ordinary people can do if we all did the things that Jesus did and supported and encouraged one another to go further and higher. Yeah? Imagine what the world would be like if all the Christians in the world were doing this. This is our calling in Christ. This is the plan for God, that God wants to transform and save everyone in the world. So, how do we do this? So the next slide says, which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So if you feel you're lacking, that you're just struggling, ask. God says, ask. Ask for the Holy Spirit. He longs to pour out his Spirit on you. He's a good, good Father. We've just sung about. He's a good, good Father, and he longs to pour out more of his Spirit on all those who ask him. So maybe you're struggling because you don't even ask. And Jesus promised again, after he died and come back to life in the book of Acts, Acts 1:4, he promised again the gift of the Holy Spirit. It says, on one occasion while he was eating with them, he gave them this command, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. And then he went off to heaven. But then the disciples waited and all those that were with him in the upper room. And then Pentecost came 10 days later and the Holy Spirit was poured out on everyone. And after that, Peter preached like he'd never preached before with confidence and boldness. And he said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You will receive it. It's promised. So, if you have the Holy Spirit, how well do you know the Holy Spirit living within you as a person? And all the characteristics, all the gifts he's got to bring you. We need to live up to the reality of the Holy Spirit dwelling within us. So the next slide. This salvation, which was first announced by the Lord, was confirmed to us by those who heard him. God also testified to it by signs, wonders, and various miracles, and by gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will, Hebrews 2:3-4, that is. So I'm going to look at three passages now where there are many different giftings mentioned from the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12, Romans 12, and Ephesians 4. So we're going to look at what Paul in his writings has been saying to the people in each of those places about the Holy Spirit. Because he's writing to spur them on and to equip them. So first of all, the next slide, 1 Corinthians 12, first 11 verses. Now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed, but it's important that you know about them. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to dumb idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. So, the next slide, I list what we've just read. Words of wisdom. Maybe that's the easiest one to understand, where if we have a difficulty, a problem, Bible says, if anyone lacks wisdom, ask God. Ask the Holy Spirit to pour out wisdom so that you know what to do. Words of knowledge, where God can show you something about somebody or a situation or a place that you couldn't possibly have known, but he has shown it to you. And he wants you to use that to bring glory to him. You'll find the purpose in it. It may just be a person that you're speaking to, and you just get this sort of sense that there's been something going on in their life or something in the past that's relevant to the discussion, that shows that person that God knows them and loves them. Yeah. Faith. Is there a mountain standing before you? Well, God can give you faith. If you have faith like a mustard seed, you have the power to move that mountain by the power of the Holy Spirit when you pray and ask. Gifts of healing. Reach out a hand, touch somebody. Command the pain to go. Try it and see. Miraculous powers. Well, Jesus did lots of miracles, didn't he? He fed thousands of people on a couple of occasions with just a few loaves and fishes. He raised people from the dead. He did all sorts of things. Blind eyes see. The lame walked. Do you believe we can do that? I've seen it. Yeah. Prophecy, where God gives a message to his people through someone. And if they do that regularly, then they can be known as a prophet. But it has to be done lovingly and in the right spirit. Because God wants something to happen. You read the prophets in the Old Testament, they bring warnings when people are sinning and falling short and going a different way from what they know God wants them to do. God does that, and he can use his prophets to do that to people, to churches, to cities, to nations even. Discerning of spirits. We live in a spiritual atmosphere where there are demons attacking us, as well as the Holy Spirit and angels and other heavenly beings. And it's important to be able to try and discern what's going on. You might sense that somebody's got this heaviness about them and they're being oppressed by some kind of spirit. So learning about these things, practicing on one another, helps us to fight the battle. Kinds of languages and tongues, you know, we talk about speaking in tongues, you might pray in tongues, you might sing in tongues. If you do, that's wonderful, it's a heavenly language, and God knows what you're saying. If you don't, well, don't worry about it, but ask. And other people can interpret what's being said in a tongue. And if it's given in church, then usually there will be an interpretation so that everybody knows what God is saying. So that's one list. And then later on in 1 Corinthians 12, reading from the Message this time for a bit of variety, says, "You are Christ's body, that's who you are. You must never forget this. Only as you accept your part of that body does your part mean anything. You're familiar with some of the parts that God has formed in his church, which is his body. Apostles, prophets, teachers, miracle workers, healers, helpers, organizers, those who pray in tongues. But it's obvious by now, isn't it, that Christ's church is a complete body and not a gigantic unidimensional part. It's not all apostle, not all prophet, not all miracle worker, not all healer, not all prayer in tongues, not all interpreter of tongues. And yet some of you keep competing for so-called important parts." Paul speaks about this in several places in his letters, that everything is given through the Holy Spirit, not just for you to make you feel good, although it probably will make you feel good, but it's for the building up of the whole church, so that the whole body can operate in a healthy way. And you're required to play your part. If you withhold it, then there's something missing. It's like a jigsaw. You know, there could be that bit that's missing. So it's a multifaceted thing. You've got to remember you're important, but not too important. And he's speaking here to a lot of Corinthians who were getting a bit puffed up and conceited because they felt that they were operating in the more important gifts. And he said, that's not what it's about. And he goes on to say in Romans 12, "For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others." We have to remember that. Remember that. Yeah. "We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully." Yeah. So the list in Romans 12 has some overlap, but it has some different things in it. Prophecy, serving, teaching, encouraging, giving, leading, showing mercy. Many things. And Ephesians 4 says, "As a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love." And remember, after 1 Corinthians 12, where Paul talks about the giftings of the Holy Spirit, comes 1 Corinthians 13, which is all about love. It's like the middle of the sandwich. It's the meat in the sandwich. And then comes 1 Corinthians 14, where he talks more about giftings, especially prophecy and tongues. Everything has to be in love. "Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace." And we're not all the same, thank God. But we have to use our differences to come together so that we can hear the voice of God together. "There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. And then later on, a few verses later in Ephesians 4, so Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness in Christ. It's what it's all about, isn't it? Working together, encouraging one another, united in love and faith, common purpose. We're not here to criticize one another, we're here to encourage. People do things differently from the way we would do them, but that's okay. You know, God gave us all different gifting. That's what this message is all about. And we're all to use them. And if somebody does something in a way that doesn't sit well with you, well, you can talk to them about it. But at the end of the day, if they've got the responsibility, well, we submit to them. So the next slide has the apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, and teachers. This is commonly called the APEST model in church leadership. We need all of these five roles to be present in a church and the leadership. So many churches sadly expect the pastor to be able to do all five of these, and that person can end up getting burned out. So I just encourage you, as you seek for a new pastor, to remember that this person can't do everything. But in your leadership team, then hopefully you'll have complementary roles that can be a whole together so that the whole church is equipped and built up. Because leaders are needed to equip the church for works of service and to set an example and to do all of these things. So do we have a complete list from all these three scriptures? What do you think? Do we? Why didn't Paul just provide one definitive list? Here you are, the giftings of the Spirit. Why do you think he says different things in different places with some areas of overlap? What do you think? Is there more? I think there's more. I mean, where is creativity? Is it just assumed that we're all creative because we are made in the image of the Creator? Well, if I was to ask you, I'm sure a lot of you would say, well, I'm not creative. Well, God says you are. God said to me about 12, 13 years ago, you're creative. And I didn't feel creative. And he took me on a journey. And it started when I was training to be a counsellor, and I had to do creative writing as part of my course so that I could offer that as something that clients could do. And that just sparked off something in me. And I learned that when you partner with the Holy Spirit, you can write amazing things. The words just pop into your mind and you can write poetry, you can write prose that comes from heaven. And it's just amazing, and it can bless many people. And then I did a beginner's drawing and painting course because I always felt I had some art stuff in me. Because I come from an artistic family. So, and again, I've just gone on to do painting, and I even do paintings for church. And then I helped out with Clan Gathering Women's Conference for a couple of years, doing hospitality for the speakers, the food, etc. And then the third year I turned up and they said to me, you're on the creative team this year. And I'm going, what? Me? But somehow God had spoken and seen something in me I didn't know was there. And I'm saying this to encourage you, because there's probably things in you that you don't know are there, and God wants to draw them out of you to build up his kingdom. And when I was put on that creative team, oh, it was so joyous. It was so healing, such lovely people. I found my tribe. It was great. And I discovered that I could put together prayer stations, prayer rooms, whatever. I had to do that as part of the conference a few times, and I now do that on a regular basis in our church. And there's joy in doing what you're called to do. But you have to just listen, and God shows you, and things you hadn't even thought of just come to mind, and it's wonderful. So, there's creativity, isn't there, for us all to grasp. What about music? Is that just a given as well? It's not mentioned. I'm sure our musicians are gifted. But, you know, are you writing songs? Is there more? Is there more to come? You know, if you partner with the Holy Spirit, where are the songs just for this congregation that need to be sung here because of whatever you're going through here? We sing all the worldwide famous songs, don't we? But God wants to give songs that are local as well, if we search and listen. Ali McFarlane is the worship leader at the Refuel conference up north, and she's Global Prophetic Alliance worship leader as well. And she teaches songs, songwriting. And she said that she knew it was a gifting, an anointing was on her for worship. But what do you do with that? So she then went and studied it. She read up about it, all about how to lead worship, how to host God's presence, and really studied it. And that's taken her quite far in her journey with God. And, you know, so things don't happen just like that. We have to go and get training as well and practice. But if we're filled with the Holy Spirit, we all have the capability to do any of the things I've mentioned already, because they're all different aspects of the Holy Spirit and what he does and what he gives. So the more we get to know him for ourselves, the more likely we are to become more like him and have more of the fruit of the Spirit evident in our lives. Because you become like those you spend time with, don't you? And you may discover even more secrets when you go into the secret place with him. There's something special just for you that he has in mind, if you listen. When God designed us and knit us together in a mother's womb, he gave us a certain amount of natural talents and abilities, so that when we become filled with the Holy Spirit, we are ready and waiting. It's like when you're decorating, you put on the undercoat, priming it for when the gloss comes. You know, that's quite a good analogy. You receive the gloss when the Holy Spirit comes on the things that you would do in your ordinary everyday life. So what gives you joy? How do you know what giftings the Holy Spirit's giving you? What are your hobbies? How do you like to spend your time? What skills have you gained through work, experience, and training? Before I became a Christian, I was a senior manager in the financial services industry, and received a lot of training about managing people, chairing meetings, public speaking, and so on. That's all been very useful in church life, and especially when I was president of the SBLPA. Everything God gives us can be used. So think about what you do. Think about where you go, your leisure activities. Is there a foundation there that God wants to build on? Pray about it. Ask him to pour out spirit on whatever you're doing, whether that's crafts, gardening, photography, problem solving, designing at work, or whatever it might be, dealing with problem people. Everything he gives us is for the common good. It's a bit like an orchestra. We're designed to produce beautiful symphonies together as a church. Beautiful together. Sometimes one instrument is required to play a bigger part or a solo, but still fitting into the bigger story of the whole piece, just as we are. Does a musician become skilled overnight? No. A lot of practice and learning. So as I've said, we need to go away and study and learn. Go on training courses for all the things that you feel a stirring in your spirit that God's calling you to do. You can get better at it so that you can shine and play an even bigger part. There's more to be drawn out of each of us. And if you don't practice what God's given you, then what happens? If you don't practice a musical instrument, what happens? You get rusty, you can lose the capability. So we have to use what God gives us. It's like the parable of the talents. Bring glory to God. Because he trusts us first with a little before giving us more. So, as we come towards the end, let's look now at what stops us. What's got in the way? Why aren't we all living life in all its fullness? Well, probably one of the biggest ones is self-doubt, because you don't feel that you can. You don't feel you're worth it. Or other people, they can do that, but it's not for me. Well, God says, yes, it is. Every single one of us is called, and he equips those he calls. When I was called to be president of the Lay Preachers Association, I was at one of the most powerful spiritual experiences I've ever had. When there was an overshadowing of God upon me when we were in a committee meeting. But I didn't say anything. And I went and prayed about it. And time after time, God reminded me that he equips those he calls, even though you feel completely inadequate and that you can't do it. The song Oceans kept coming to me. It was like, okay, you've got to get out of the boat. You've got to fix your eyes on Jesus, and then you can do amazing things. Yeah. So don't doubt yourself. You're listening to the devil if you do. Isn't there a verse somewhere that says we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us? Remember that. It could be sin in your life. Maybe people don't know about, but there's something that's blocking your relationship with God, and you're living in the consequences of that. Maybe there's lack of forgiveness, because that can harden your heart. You can become bitter towards a person or persons, and we need to deal with that, because there's no room for unforgiveness in the body of Christ. We have to move on. We have to forgive. We have to, as far as it's up to us, live at peace with everyone. You don't have to be best buddies, but we have to work together for Christ. And even outside of church, you know, there may be people that you still need to forgive. Even if they're no longer with us, you can write a letter. If they're dead, you can just still write a letter and then just throw it away. Just get it all out, repent before God and deal with it. And then it's in the past and it's not going to hold you back. What about if you believe the lies that the devil's whispering, as I've said before? You know, people can speak negative words over us in our childhood or formative years. People, even loving parents, can say things that can act like a curse. You know, oh, you'll never, you never do that. No, you know, and we believe it. And we can believe that we're dumb, we're stupid, we can, all sorts of things. And that needs to be broken off in the name of Jesus if you catch yourself with those negative things. If we're overwhelmed by problems, that can be all consuming, and it can stop us from focusing on God's kingdom and what he calls us to. But there is no problem that's too hard for God. And we have to go to him for help. We have to go to others to pray with us, to support us through difficult times. There's still something. There's always light at the end of the tunnel, and trusting in God to work things out for the good of those who love him. Because God will use those trials for good, and you can come alongside people. You will grow, you will mature as a Christian when you go through hard times. So don't look on them from a victim point of view. You know, God allows things to happen sometimes, and it helps us to mature and grow. It sharpens us. And so just remain in that positive mindset. And God, show me what I need to learn quickly so I can get out of this difficult time, and I can come alongside people, I can learn and grow from it. What about if your health is really poor and you can't do the things that you used to do? Well, this happens, particularly as we get older, but not necessarily just with age. But instead of focusing on what you can't do, what can you do? That happens in the Bible, doesn't it? Jesus said when he was feeding the 5,000, what do you have? He asked, I think it was Elijah or Elisha, but he asked the woman, what do you have? No, well, I've only got this. And then God just multiplied and multiplied and multiplied. What do you have? What have you have to bring to God that he can use If nothing else, you can sit and pray for those who are on the front line doing more of the stuff, no matter what is going on. What if we don't ask? I said that earlier. You have to ask. What if you're just busy, 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 busy? It's the common disease today. People are busy, too busy with work things, with family, with church things. And they forget to stop and spend time with God. I would recommend to you a book by John Mark Comer, The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry. It's very, very good. And he tells you things that you can put into place to help you with that disease of busyness. We're not to be human busy people, but human beings who rest in the presence of God. All ministry should flow from that place of rest. And it's amazing the difference. And I know I'm a better version of me, as my husband will testify, when I'm rested. Yeah, we need to look after ourselves and rest. Love the Lord your God and love other people, but don't forget yourself. So the last slide, just to summarise, we have one Holy Spirit displaying many different aspects and abilities of God. Infinite and unlimited, unlimited. There's a scripture that says that, you know, God pours out his Spirit without limit. Remember that, without limit. Our brains are a bit too frazzled by that, but you know, without limit. What does that look like? There's always more. And it's displayed in us according to the need for an individual or for corporate ministry. Every single one of us can play different parts at any time. So we might major in one area for a period or even several areas. And we need to encourage one another in that. Because you might see something in somebody else that they don't see. This is why we're called to be a body together, so that the whole body can be healthy. And as it's not to make us feel good, although it will, but or to become conceited. That's not the prime reason. It is to build up God's kingdom, revealing what he is like, not what we are like. We tend to make things about us and get offended and all sorts of things, but it's not about us. We have to get over ourselves. It's all about him. And we are to be the releasers of the kingdom here on earth. We pray that prayer, let your kingdom come, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We need to pray that every day and say, pray that in my life, Lord, that I can be filled with your Spirit so that I can bring your kingdom down to earth. So we need to wake up to the possibilities. Some of you have been asleep. Be the body of Christ and play your part. Live life to the full in the power of the Holy Spirit to see lives transformed. Souls saved. Isn't that our mission? Souls saved. Care for the poor. Experience the joy of fulfilling your calling for the building up of God's kingdom. Amen. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you're with us. You're for us. You want to pour out your Spirit upon every single one of us. So forgive us when we just try and do things our own way. Help us to come to you with the small things as well as the big things. Help us to trust you. Lord, reveal your glory in and through us to a watching and waiting and broken world, that we might be used by you to bring transformation. To let your light shine through in the dark places as your light floods out of us. For your love to overflow out of us because of the time that we spend with you. Lord, may this really be a kingdom of love that transforms the world and a kingdom of power. Power through your people, the hands and feet of Jesus, going on from strength to strength. And building up one another, each body of Christ, part of the whole worldwide body. Yeah, you have the whole world in your hands. Lord, help us to be your hands and to be part of it for your glory and yours alone. Amen.
Amen.